Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome into Jay Bird Watching on a Tuesday night, the new normal night for the three, usually four of us to hop on and record. I'm with Craig Borden and Chris Key, and I'm your host, as you know, Brendan Panikkar. And Chris, you kind of started a new segment last night, so I want to turn it over to you if you're ready to go for a weekly wrap-up. And I will be quiet.
Might as well.
See if he can go two for two.
Yeah. Last Tuesday is where we left off in Kansas City, where Manoah kept his season rolling through throwing six scoreless innings en route to a second straight shutout for the Blue Jays. The bats were still firing with Bichette getting on base five times. Two hits, three walks. Doubles from Espinalte, Oscar Chapman, and Tapia led the Blue Jays to a convincing 7-0 victory Wednesday night at Kauffman Stadium. Wednesday afternoon at Kauffman Stadium for the finale. Saw another clunker from Yusei Kikuchi, giving up four walks, two hits, and three earned runs without even getting out of the first inning. The bullpen wasn't much better as Richards gave up another three runs, Simber and Merriweather also giving up a run each. The only excitement for the Blue Jays came off the bats of Raimel Tapia and Zach Collins, each with big home runs. Royals take this one 8-4. An off day on Thursday means we head to Detroit on Friday night, where the bats once again came alive. Home runs from Bo Gurriel and Springer led the way, each also with multi-hit games. Another strong performance from Alejandro Kirk keeps his hot June rolling right along. Jose Berrios also now making a strong push to get his season back on track as he went 8 strong, giving up only a single with 5 strikeouts. Blue Jays go on to a solid 10-1 win in the series opener. Saturday afternoon in Detroit was a close-fought battle on what would be Gabriel Moreno's Major League debut. Unfortunately, that would be the only thing to celebrate on this day for the Blue Jays, as the Tigers pitching staff kept the bats at bay, only allowing one run in the ninth. Kevin Gausman was once again serviceable, giving up two runs over six innings. The Tigers winning it 3-1. The series finale was one for the Blue Jays to get back on track, and newly found Blue Jays ace Ross Stripling got them there with six scoreless frames, with four strikeouts, giving up only a hit. Guerrero smashed a monster home run in the fourth. In the four-run fourth for the Blue Jays, with doubles by Hernandez, Gurriel, and Biggio adding to the lead. As Blue Jays go on to a 6-0 victory to close things out in Detroit. Back to the Sky Dome in Toronto, where our long-lost friend Stinky Odor was waiting to drop and throw the ball away, as he so famously does. The bats were hot as everyone in the starting lineup recorded a hit. Only Kirk and Biggio were left off the multi-hit fun at the Dome on Monday night. Blue Jays took a commanding lead with a 7-run fifth inning and padded a few more along the way, including Guerrero home run in the eighth. Once again, Alek Manoah shines, going six very strong, impressive innings, striking out seven, bringing his season record to 8-1 with a very tidy 1.67 ERA. Blue Jays smashed the Orioles in this one, 11-1 to start the season. Looking ahead, we have three more against the Orioles in a weekend series against the AL East leading New York Yankees. Coming into tonight, the Blue Jays are second in the AL East with a 36-24 record, and of course, at the top of the wild card, closely followed by the Tampa Bay Rays, and trailed by a newly resurgent Boston Red Sox.
Yes, Craig, scary, I don't know all about of you. But I like now that we have this new tradition with Chris, because we just get to listen and pick apart every single little thing that he says.
Yeah, there it is. So now this is the dissections part of the show, right? So,
yes.
But well done, Chris. Golf clap. Yeah, thank
you. The second straight week in a row, you nailed it, Chris. And that leads into the first topic, which obviously when we recorded last week, we were one game into the Kansas City series and just wrapping up the episode when game two against the Royals got started, and we saw the Blue Jays take the game on Tuesday, as you mentioned, lose on Wednesday, and then take 2 out of 3 at Comerica Park. Craig, I'll start with you to give Chris a bit of a breather. That concludes a 12-game stretch for the Blue Jays against only American League Central teams, and I'll be honest, it was a nice break from playing all the good teams in the American League East and some good teams in the American League West, but there are some people who came away from this 12-game stretch a little disappointed at the fact that the Blue Jays only went 8-4 against teams that they should be beating up on. Now, I don't know about you guys. 8-4, I'm fine with. I got no problem with it. If it was 7-5, I might have an issue. 8-4 is passable. Anything better than that, I would have been through the moon. But 8-4, that's series wins after series wins after series wins against American League Central teams, other than the Twins when they lost 2-3 to Minnesota. So, Craig, where do you sit on that? Because you won more than you lost. You doubled your losses with 8 wins. And you're 12 games above 500 into this game tonight against the Baltimore Orioles. You had a debut from Gabriel Moreno, who, again, tonight playing has thrown out a batter. But where do you sit on it? Because 8-4, I'm fine with.
8-4, I'm very fine with. But in the midst of that whole thing, that one game against the Kansas City Royals where the offense didn't show up was a little disappointing. But to that point, we're going to keep moving along here and play another team that is one of the worst teams in baseball, in the Baltimore Orioles. I'm sorry, my buddy Connor, if you're listening, who's the Orioles fan, deal with it. This is what a rebuild looks like for Baltimore Orioles fans.
Yeah.
But to that, it would have been nice to sweep the Royals and continue to run with that whole thing. But I think we all kind of called up to the point they were going to phone in a clunker one of those nights, to steal Chris's wonderful wording there. And it happened. It's just what happens. Even that good teams stumble and trip and whatnot, and they had an off night. And it is what it is. But we got some nice things going. That Kansas City series did show that this offense was ready to start bursting open and starting to do what we were expecting. The pitching continued to do pretty well outside of, like we were saying, Kikuchi had a little bit of a rough start, and the bullpen fell apart in that same game. So it was very intriguing. It was nice to see them go with Kansas City and do what they did. Maybe it's just the 2015 nonsense. I'd love going into that ballpark and just storm in the front. You know, so, and it was good to see a lot of Blue Jays fans actually invade that ballpark too. So that was very, very fun.
Chris, where do you sit on it? Because for reasons mentioned, it probably would have been nice to, as Craig mentioned, take that other game against Kansas City. But I think we all kind of agreed when we recorded last week Tuesday that there might be one that they drop, and that was the one.
I think just the way that game started with how bad Kikuchi was,
Tell me how you really feel about it.
Well, no, I think I'm more hung up on the Detroit loss on Saturday, just because that one was a lot closer in reach. And like, you only got one run off of one of, I think it was one of their worst.
Brisky.
It was one of those guys that was just like, the Blue Jays haven't seen him before, and that's the guy that always seems to beat them. They beat up on Skubal, who was the guy that was really good.
They beat up on him, which was fine. But like, when you're not going to be hitting the ball as well, and things aren't going as well for you, especially, and they have been going well, so hindsight's kind of 20/20 on this. But there was one play in particular. It was early in the game, and I want to say Teoscar got thrown out at... Was it Teoscar or Gurriel got thrown out at third?
Teoscar.
Those are the things that can really derail a game like that. And who knows? If that inning continues, maybe something happens, and then it is a 3-3 ball game going into the later innings. And I like the Blue Jays' chances in a 3-3 game late in an inning a hell of a lot better than I do the Detroit Tigers. The offense one and the bullpen two should be better, and the bullpen should be fairly rested after pretty well only giving innings to Julian Merriweather and Trent Thornton for a few days at least with some of those barn burners. As for the 8-4, yes, I definitely would have liked to have seen that be better, because I know we're 8.5 or 7.5 behind the Yankees right now, but you have to find a way to claw that down. Mm-hmm. You really do, because right now, who are we playing the first round of the playoffs?
The Rays.
Yeah.
Right now.
Sure as shit. I don't want to play them. I don't want any part of that. I would rather dip down into where Boston is. So you got to play Minnesota. Oh, yeah.
Same.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like if it comes down to the final week, and you know you're in, it's just seeding, start tossing games, because there's no way in hell I want to end up playing Tampa. Yeah. Not a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right now we're only up one game on them on the wild card, too. We're at 4.5+. They're at 3.5+.
I'll take my chances with I know the Yankees and probably the Astros at that point would get a bye, but I would take my chances in a 3-game series against Houston, New York, Boston, Minnesota, fucking anybody.
100%.
Not Tampa.
The Rays will find a way to mess with
it. I do not want anybody. Hell, I would take the Dodgers before the Rays, just because you know there's going to be some freaky friggin' voodoo going on.
Now, does that change?
Not sacrificing chickens a la Pedro Serrano in that locker room or anything, guy. Come on.
Now, does it change your thoughts that it would be in Toronto as opposed to the Trop? Because as of right now, if the season ended, it would be all three in Toronto.
Hell no.
Correct, sir. But they'll find a way to mess that up.
They'll figure out a way. They always do.
Because beat McClanahan, Jeffrey Springs, and somebody else that can throw 100 miles an hour and beat them?
Yeah, well, Glasgow.
I knew that McClanahan kind of was coming.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That kid's been incredible to watch.
Is it Shane Boz as well?
Well, Boz just got activated the other
day.
That kid
can rear back and chuck it, too, so.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Anything to avoid the Rays.
Anything.
He'll end up being a bullpen arm in that 3-game series. That's scary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and somehow and somehow he'll come out every fucking game and pitch 2 innings.
Yeah,
and just dust everybody.
Completely derail anything. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
no, I'm with you. 8-4, I don't know about you guys. 8-4 feels, like I said, fine. It doesn't get me thrilled. Like 9-3 or 10-2 would have done.
It's fine, but it feels light.
Yes, it does. It does. And for your reason, exactly. Any way that you can try to catch the Yankees or make ground on them when you're playing weaker opponents than they are is a win, especially considering the fact that you don't play them very much anymore, because you play them this weekend for 3, and then you only give them 6 more times between now and the end of the season, the Yankees. So that's not a lot of ground to make up, especially if they keep on winning against the teams that they play. But
this weekend is very important.
Massive.
And I think, who is it, Tabler said about last night when Manoa basically pulled himself?
Yeah.
He knows who he has in 5 days. He knows who he has to face.
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. So
you don't waste those bullets against the Orioles.
No, not at all. Especially with their pitching and the fact that the Blue Jays have dominated them. Even though Baltimore is better than they were last season. Still, you got to take advantage of the opportunity against the Orioles. Chris, you talked about that Saturday game a little bit. Obviously, that was the debut of Moreno, and I don't want to bury that lead a little bit, but I think I saw a stat the other day that the Blue Jays had 10 of the 11 or 10 of the 12 hardest hit balls in that game, and they all managed to find the hit glove. So I don't know about you guys. I didn't get to see Wednesday's game because it was a matinee, but I did watch all of Saturday's game, especially for Moreno's debut. And between the two, that one got me the most frustrated, especially the fact that, Craig, they couldn't hit, I forget what his first name is, Ben Brisky, something like that. And yeah, he was getting tattooed on his fastball. So that Tigers loss, I don't know about you guys, but that probably is the most frustrating one of those four losses against the American League Central these past 12 days.
Yeah, easily. I think you summed it up the best. It's just they weren't finding the holes, but they were hitting the ball literally solid, dead nuts, just bang. So in the midst of them not being able to find those holes, it's amazing that literally the following day they put up a crooked number.
Yeah,
it's like that. And then the same thing with the other night against the Orioles. It's that same thing. They were talking about that. It's like they're hitting the ball damn hard lately. And that one game, for whatever reason, like you said, they had like out of the top 10 exit velocity for throughout the whole major leagues that evening.
Yeah,
or that day, they were like seven of them. It was nuts. But to that point, we got some good things out of that series and whatnot. But I'm not going to steal your next lead on that one too much, Brendan, because I know where you're going with the conversation. But if they were going to lose a game, that was a very Blue Jays way to lose a game. Did we just lose our host? Oh, there you go.
There he is.
Yeah. It had to be mean, Brendan. It lagged you out for a minute. Go internet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're not paying your Rogers bill?
No, I guess not, even though I should to contribute to the payroll.
And maybe they get us a good starting pitcher.
Yeah, exactly.
Our budget quite can't cut it, so
yeah.
I'm not out drink.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chris, was there a more frustrating loss than that one on Saturday during the last 12 games? Like, are you looking back to the Twins loss when Gausman didn't pitch well and they may have been picking up on his pitches, or the Friday loss to the Twins, or the Royals Wednesday game?
No, I think for the reasons I've already cited, that game in Detroit as well. I guess maybe picking up one more against the Twins would have been really nice. But
yeah,
who did they just play and they beat up as well? They just beat up Tampa.
I think it was the Rays, yeah.
The Rays, but the Yankees beat up on the Twins, I want to say. So
yeah.
You take what you can get, I guess, on that respect. You still have to win your games, which the Twins are...
They're pretty good.
A good team right now. Like, they're playing some weaker division. Yeah, they're playing some weaker division opponents, which is probably inflating their record just a little bit. But, so that's probably why I would say the Detroit one. Plus, the Detroit game is just so in reach.
Yeah,
the game against the Royals, the Blue Jays did claw back just a little bit, and made a little bit of a game of it before Richards came and threw up a stinker. But how about, okay, just to go on a sidetrack, Richards has been fucking unusable.
Oh, I don't trust
out
him
of
anymore.
The bullpen.
He's not a high leverage guy anymore.
Something ain't right there.
Yeah, no,
but to that point, you got
so good last year, and at the beginning of this year, he was really good. Something has just completely fallen off for him.
Yeah, what broke him?
What broke him?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Let me ask you guys this before we move on and talk about Gabriel Moreno and his debut in that Saturday game that we've already talked about at length. Obviously, the offense has woken up quite a bit since that two-gamer in St. Louis when they put up eight innings against them, and then that continued against the Angels when they swept them for four games and bled into these 12 games that they just played against the American League Central. Obviously, we know a lot of the teams the Blue Jays have just played, I would say, on paper, and are actually worse than the Blue Jays and don't have nearly as good of starting pitching as what the Blue Jays had seen in the month of April against the Rays and the Yankees, and I wouldn't count the Red Sox in there, the Astros, and some of the other good teams that they played. Obviously, we've been waiting the last several episodes that we've had on this podcast for the offense to erupt, and it's finally happened. But how much of that are you attributing, Chris, to the fact that they're just finally taking advantage of weaker pitching staffs, because they statistically faced the toughest starting pitching they had in April and most of May as well? Or are you finally believing that when the Yankees come to town on the weekend, that the offense will still keep rolling, even though they might throw out Nestor Cortez or Gerrit Cole or whoever's going to be pitching for the Yankees this weekend?
See, Gerrit Cole doesn't scare me because we've hit him before.
Yeah.
And he seems
normally to, well, by the way.
Yeah. When do we get Cole?
That's a good question. Saturday game.
Let me see. Whoever's pitching tonight will be for the Yankees will pitch on Saturday. It was either or maybe yesterday if they played.
That'd be wicked if we got Cole and Manoah.
Where are they
right now?
So tonight for the Yankees, I think tonight's Gerrit Cole. So Gerrit Cole will pitch this weekend in Toronto. And then yesterday for the Yankees. No, they didn't play.
Yesterday was the day they had the day off. Sorry.
So tomorrow, Nestor Cortez. So that think that would mean he pitches on. They might miss Cortez.
That'd be kind of a nice perk.
Better than on Sunday. And then Severino Thursday, they'll miss him. Friday on my score app doesn't say a probable for that, but Gerrit Cole seems like he'll pitch, and Nestor Cortez probably gets Sunday. So whoever pitches Friday would have been Sunday starter.
Okay. Yeah. So Gerrit Cole doesn't really, I don't want to say it doesn't scare me. Like, he's still one of the best pitchers in the game, but like, honestly, I would rather see Cole than Cortez right now. Cause Cortez just gives the Blue Jays lineup all sorts of fits. So I would rather, much rather see somebody with a high velocity, like Gerrit Cole. Well, they beat up on Tyone as well in the past.
I think he's
Friday
starter.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a little bit of an experience for the Yankees this weekend, because that crowd is going to be rowdy as shit.
Yeah,
especially
it's going to feel like a playoff game.
Yeah, like if the Blue Jays continue to beat up on the Orioles and people start kind of gauging, like, try to get a ticket this weekend in Toronto. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't get a ticket. I think Friday there's probably some floating, but you can't get any for Saturday and Sunday. There's only single seat tickets, and it's been that way for about a week and a half at least.
Good. Yeah.
Right now. So there's going to be 45,000 strong in there. Reaming and roaring, ready to go.
Thunderdome, bitch.
Yeah. That's going to play into it quite a bit. Especially, I don't know if we're supposed to get rain or anything this weekend, but that dome gets really, really loud when it's closed.
Yeah.
And it'll get hot as shit in there and turn into a greenhouse and all those great things.
I look forward
to that happening in there. Yeah. But
because I was there for that Tulo at bat in 2015, yeah, right when we got him.
Yeah.
I was sitting on the third baseline, and man, that thing with the dome shut, mayhem.
That's the only good thing when the dome is shut, when it's loud for a playoff type game. I hate it when it's closed. Other than that,
it's going to be an experience for the New York Yankees this weekend, and I hope it's just bullshit on both sides, and like tempers are flaring, and like home runs are going this and that way from both sides, and just like maybe one good pitching matchup.
The rivalry.
Maybe one good pitching matchup in there, and then the rest are just bludgeon each other.
Yeah.
So
it's a chance for the Blue Jays to put a staple on it. And to your point on the original question here, Brendan, about the Blue Jays facing good pitching for the first time after, facing some teams that have some clearly on the, need for improvement on the pitching side of the game. I think these games have given them the confidence they need to know that they can actually still do this. You guys remember what it was like a month ago. What the fuck are we doing? How do we do this? What's this wood thing that I'm holding when I walk up the plate? It was almost that level. I think they've redefined the approaches. I think they've found that confidence. I think they're going to walk into that Yankees series feeling like they belong and they're firing on all cylinders. And I think the biggest thing is I've watched over the last few weeks, patience.
They've been way better.
100 billion times percent over what at bats. And even Vlad said, Hazel May was talking about that during the broadcast yesterday, that Vlad was just, I don't know what I was doing. I was swinging at everything. I've just got to just calm down and let the game come to him. And I have seen that over the last 2 weeks, the Blue Jays letting more of the bat come to them rather than just trying to be super aggressive to the point, you know, that works out well. Wow, camera's going dead. So the it works well for some guys outside of Bo Bichette, but not everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So to that point, it was, they needed to figure out what that next step was. And I think they got that going forward here.
Yeah.
And they're going to be able to run with it.
I think so, too. I think so, too. They just need to get their confidence
back. Let's see if this beer bottle will hold up my camera.
Yeah. Needed to get the confidence back, face some weaker pitching, and get some wins under their belt, which they've certainly done now that they're 12 games above 500. So they do have some cushion the next little bit. Because it's after this Orioles series, we'll talk about it towards the end of the show, it's getting into a little bit of a tougher stretch between now and the All-Star break. So definitely need to take advantage of these games. But let's go back to Saturday because I've teased that enough. Chris, you were supposed to have tickets and go to the game on Saturday, but your passport
fucking remind me.
Rub it in, you bitch.
I have mine. My wife does not have hers, so I was not able to go either. So I watched it at home, as I'm sure you did. But
nope.
Oh, you didn't watch?
I didn't.
Why?
You were too angry. You didn't want to watch
it. No, had to go to work, but did I tell you that I linked up some Bluetooth speakers and blasted it through that place?
Good.
You did tell us about your evil little plan the other day.
Yeah, yeah. But how funny is it, last week we talked about Moreno and our...
Literally bludgeoned by the fact he shouldn't be in the majors.
Yeah, and consider trading him. Now, not trying to throw you under the bus, Adam Corsair, at all, but figures like the next day after we have that conversation saying if he's not called up...
And here he comes.
...next little while, he's going to be traded, and then the rumor circulates when they leave Kansas City that he's meeting them in Detroit, and lo and behold, he shows up to Comerica Park on Friday, does not get into the lineup, but does on Saturday. As I'm sure many people who are listening and are watching the game tonight have seen, he's already thrown out a base runner. He should have thrown out a base runner on Saturday if the ball didn't slip out of Bo Bichette's glove. But regardless, both times, the pop time, as Ben Nicholson-Smith and Shai Davidi and Orton Zwelling have touched on, is impressive. It's under 2 seconds for him to get up and get the ball released. Saw that tonight as well. But Craig, as a resident prospect guru, we've obviously talked at length about his strengths and everything like that. What is the thing that stood out most to you about Gabriel Moreno on Saturday, whether it's a particular moment in his debut, an at-bat that he had? Obviously, he got his first base hit of his career in the ninth inning on Saturday, which almost sparked a rally and brought them back against a very good closer in Gregory Soto. But was there a particular thing that shone through to you about Gabriel Moreno and his debut that makes you think, okay, he's real, he's going to be good, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. First, it's minor league guru to you.
Yeah, minor league guru.
So to that point, I just think the biggest thing that was most encouraging about that fact that was that he dove in, he was fully immersed. He didn't look like he was nervous.
No,
he just looked like he was supposed to be there that whole time. And I think that's just because he knows that he has that natural ability. We've all seen it. And to that point, I know we were putting him a little bit on trial last week, but that was just more because I thought we all were in agreement that maybe it's not time yet. There was enough other options, and Alejandro Kirk has been a fucking godsend for the Toronto Blue Jays offense. Did you have to pull the ripcord and bring him up? I guess the big thing is he was on the 40-man roster anyway, so it's not like we're not, you know, eating into that whole contract thing anyways. It's just the service time at this point now. So in the midst of everything, he fit. He's goofing around with all the guys. He's hanging out in now that they're back in Toronto, he's in the den down by the barrio and hanging out with everybody and learning from all those guys and immersing himself in baseball with all those great guys. He looks like he belongs. Is he going to crush the ball like he was doing in minor leagues? Probably not. But to that point, he doesn't need to be anything right now except for that guy that shows up and does what he did tonight and play stellar defense, hopefully keep Yusei Kikuchi into this game. Yeah. And to that point, from what I'm watching here on the side, he's looking like a damn catcher. I don't have any questions about what he can do behind the dish right now. And I didn't have and his defensive prowess the whole time he was playing for the Bisons and watching him. I was just worried about the fact that I saw him play against a couple of major league players on rehab assignments that were not even really, you know, trying their best and finding ways just to trick him at the plate. I was wondering if there was going to be any translation right off the bat in his bat and see if he was going to be able to hit on offense. To that point, he got his first hit. That thing's out of the way really, really damn quickly. So now he can settle in and just do what he needs to do. And knowing that he can do that right now on the offensive side of the or on the defensive side of the ball, they have Kirk. They don't need to have him do it in offense in the DH spot. So he's going to be batting in the eighth or ninth spot, just hoping to turn the lineup over. And if we have Espinal and everybody else doing what they've been doing, if he can play defense, it's the same as us scoring runs.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't know because the Orioles just scored another damn run. But I'm assuming that's not because of his game calling. I haven't been looked into this game because we've been talking the whole time so far. I'm assuming I'm chalking it up to the Yusei Kikuchi who's not quite locating like he did this past start. And as he just takes a ball in the dirt, that might prove my point. But I think he's major league ready. I was just questioning the fact that we have so much good going on in the catching category like everybody else here was talking about. Do we need him on this team at the moment, or do you just let him just blow up the minor leagues and then force the hand? He was very close to forcing the hand, in my opinion, but now I guess obviously, you know, ours and Atkins and Shapiro's force the hand level was a little bit different.
Not Adams. Chris?
Yeah, Adam was pretty passionate about leaving him down there and not spoiling any kind of trade value. But I don't think, Adley Rutschman's not having good time right now. And I don't think that would affect any kind of trade value he would have if the Orioles wanted to go out and trade him away, which they're not going to. And the Blue Jays are in a little bit different of a position where maybe Mourinho would be dangled out for a starting pitcher now, maybe, or a Juan Soto or a Shohei Ohtani. Who knows?
I can't believe that was an article. You guys literally warped my mind by sending me that real thing. I'm like, this is real? This isn't fake why news not? From like Back to the Future? But to your point, why not?
Why not? That article being from Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic. Today posted that Shohei Ohtani should possibly be traded. I don't have a whole lot to go on. It's only kind of what you read in some very far and few in between highlights of seeing Mourinho. But from what we've seen so far, the kid can catch. And that's the biggest step, right? Like, we know bat-to-ball is going to be there. We've heard bat-to-ball. Like, he hasn't had power lately, but, you don't really need another guy with power in this lineup.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Anything he does is a monster perk.
Yeah, exactly. You let him come up. Perk. Apparently, Jansen's been nothing but amazing to the kid, helping him out. And who knows? Jansen might be the odd man out at this point. We don't know which one.
Could be.
Push is going to come to shove. And holy fuck, Trevor Richards is warming up. Push is going to come to shove at some point. They're not going to carry three catchers unless you're making Kirk the full-time DH. I don't think they want to do that either. So
I don't think they want to do that, but how are you not contemplating that idea?
Yeah. Yeah, which I'd be fine with, to be perfectly honest. I'd be fine with it, but you want to get Springer off of his... Oh, my God. You want to get Springer off of his feet eventually, a couple of games every once in a while. You got to get Guerrero off of his feet. You got to get Teoscar off his feet, but you got to do that and not lose their bat at the same time. Yeah. And I'm sure it's hard enough getting Guerrero just to DH. Like, that kid wants to be out there every single game.
Kevin Biggio all of a sudden a good first baseman?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? He's definitely serviceable. like I don't ever have any problems with Biggio playing first base, like especially if his bat is going to be trending upwards and he's getting on base, like who cares? But back to Marino, let's give it this IL stint for Jansen and really happens. let's see. I don't mind Kirk being the DH this entire time and just let the kid catch almost every day. Collins went down, did he not?
Yeah, he did. So they're carrying only two catchers right
so
now.
So they're carrying two catchers. So if Kirk is DHing and Reino's going to catch almost every day, let's see what the kid can do. And so far, like, he hasn't proven that he can't handle it.
Yeah.
He looks so oddly comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of freaking me out, honestly.
Yeah, and the battle come. Like, we were waiting how long for Guerrero to break out, and mm-hmm. Bo has had struggles on and off, and Cavan has had his struggles after starting really, really, really good. So we just got to give him some time to adjust the bat. As long as the defense is there as a catcher, as Craig said, whatever you get above and beyond for that right now is just a bonus.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I have another tidbit, though.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
to be this guy. You guys know that next week the rosters have to shift, right? They have the pitcher. Right? Yep, we have to lose a pitcher off of our roster. So Jansen isn't ready at the moment, and they were talking about that during the broadcast. So you're talking a couple more weeks before we even had this conversation. So you could all foreseeably and realistically probably see Zach Collins back as a Blue Jay next week to force the Kirk DH conversation, depending on what's going on with Gabriel Moreno at that point. Because otherwise, they have plenty of options in Buffalo that are playing really damn well for a first place team right now in Buffalo. But to that point, they got to bring up a bat. They cannot bring up another pitcher, even after the fact that, you know, Joe Biagini's all of a sudden the player of the week in Buffalo, to say that. Just to be that guy. So
don't be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy. I just want to be that one that slips that jerk in there. So there's a lot going on well in Buffalo right now for the Blue Jays to be able to figure out what they want to do with that spot, but it really would not shock me if it's something centralized around this conversation we're all talking about here with Gabriel Moreno.
Probably.
It just makes sense.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't know, Chris, if you were at work, you probably didn't catch this, and Craig, I'm sure you may have caught it, depending on which broadcast you were able to listen to down in Rochester, but if you saw Sportsnet, there are two things. One, I think it was the third inning when Kevin Gausman was struggling with the bases loaded. Moreno went out and talked to him without fear. And as Tabler was saying, for a young catcher going out to talk to a veteran who's had a fantastic season, that can be hard to do and intimidating. So that was encouraging.
Cojones.
Exactly.
I did hear that.
Exactly. And then the other one was he insisted on doing his introductory press conference on Friday in English. And not that that matters. Language that a player speaks is none of our business. They talk in what language is most comfortable to them, to the media. But he said, and the broadcast said on Saturday, he wants to learn English quickly so that he can better communicate with his starting pitchers. And if that doesn't show you the type of kid he is to be so dedicated to the game that he wants to communicate in the pitcher's preferred language, of course, without a translator, that's exciting. And again, you don't have to speak English if you don't want to. That's not a requirement.
There's enough people around this team now that that are in the barrio that need plenty of translators.
Exactly. So it's all good stuff, all good and early reviews. The fact that he got his base hit in his debut that sparked a little bit of a rally and he scored a run was awesome to see. Unfortunately, as we've talked, it came in that losing effort. But as they did, they bounced back on Sunday, and that bleeds into our next topic about Ross Stripling. And when I sent this agenda, this was before the news about Hyunjin Ryu. So I think the tone or topic about Ross Stripling is going to change a little bit. Maybe not so much about how stellar he's been the last two outings last week, Monday in Kansas City, and then again for six shutout with just one hit allowed, I'm pretty sure, or two hits allowed against the Tigers on Sunday afternoon.
The question was originally, how crucial is he the rest of the way, knowing that Ryu is out? But knowing that he is now out for the rest of the year, and how good Ross Stripling has been, this is kind of a twofold conversation, kind of about Ryu and about Ross Stripling. Chris, we talked about Stripling at length last week as well, and I think the overwhelming conversation was, you might want to consider going to get another starter, but you don't have to. You don't have to force the issue. Now, knowing that Ryu is out for the rest of the year, even though Ross Stripling has had two really good starts in a row, and he's been better this year as a starter than a reliever, 2.81 ERA as a starter compared to 4.09 as a reliever. Are you fine going with Stripling as the five the rest of the year? Do you want to add a starter? Because Atkins said they can get creative to add a fifth starter, whether that's, I don't know, if it's a trade or eating salary from a team or Nate Pearson.
J-Hap comes out of retirement. J-Hap coming out of retirement.
But are you good to roll with Ross Stripling based on what you've seen this season, especially his last two starts?
Well, I'm going to correct you first and foremost that Ross Stripling is not the number five.
Kikuchi is
at this point.
Right.
And
now,
honestly, this will be my hot take for the episode. But if there's okay, if you were to ask me who are you most confident in you getting five innings out of, right now it's probably Manoah, Stripling, and Gausman tied together, Barrios, and then Kikuchi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kikuchi, like, you know you're gonna get five innings. In getting six scoreless, like, with one hit, like, sign me up for that every day.
Tigers,
but, like,
but still.
It's the Tigers. But still, if Ross Stripling goes out there and you know he's got four or five pitches that he outworks guys and he outsmarts them. Ross Stripling is a smart, smart dude. Like, he's on a ton of podcasts and, like, he's pretty available. You can find him all over the place. And he is a smart dude. Like, he knows how to mix his pitches and, like, how to outthink guys and do things a little bit abnormally sometimes, maybe his sequences or whatever. But, like, he's so reliable. Like, I don't want to say he is good, but, like, he's so reliable. He's going to go out there and give you a good effort every single time he goes out, and he'll give you five innings of keeping you in it.
Mm-hmm.
And as of right now, that's better than what Ryu was giving
yeah,
you.
Sure.
And Stripling's going to go out there every 5 days, and he's not going to screw around. Oh, this is going to turn into a shit on Ryu thing. But, like, you're not jumbling the pitching rotation because one guy wants a six,
right,
or an extra day because he wants to pitch on 6 days, and then you got to fuck around with everybody else, which, like, you. Good for you for doing whatever makes you think you're going to be more successful, but you're screwing around with everybody else who wants to work on a 5-day rotation. So now you got to find somebody else to throw in there. Like, well, I don't know if that's a thing or not, but, like, I don't know. Ross Stripling gives me a hell of a lot more confidence than Ryu, and you got to go out there and get a really good pitcher if you're going to go out and get somebody. Like, is it a Montas or whoever it'll be, I don't know who it is, but I still do think that you want another big arm. Like, you have two right now, and Barrios is starting to come along. If you get Barrios of old, then I'm pretty comfortable with what we have, and you don't have to sacrifice minor league players or a Kirk or a Gurriel or somebody to make that addition, because I think that those type of players would be better used in a different type of deal.
Sure.
But as of right now, like, roll with Strip. Who cares? Like, the guy's going out there and giving you everything that you could ask for.
Absolutely.
And I think they'd said something about, does this change the plans for Pearson? Hell no, it shouldn't. Like, you more confident? Would you feel better with Stripling or Pearson starting a game right now?
Stripling, for sure. Stripling.
Yeah, exactly.
Going with Strip.
Yeah. Besides Pearson throwing 97, 98, and whatever, like, put him in the back end of the bullpen because you're going to need him back there. eventually.
He's never going to ramp up to the time that we could use him. No. You're talking about running from two innings right now to fucking letting him run out to go out to starting pitching. It's going to take him a month long to figure that out in the minors just to even get through six innings at minor league AAA. Sure. And not to mention, I'm going to be this dick. Are you good, Chris, before I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
So you got to roll with Strip now that, you know, Ryu's down. But to that point, you are, you know, there's some other fun here that we could be having. If they don't give Casey Lawrence a shot before just trading for somebody bluntly here in the next month at the major league level, they're missing the point of what minor league systems are for. You know, Casey Lawrence is pitching right now for the Buffalo Bisons to an 8-1 record, 1.77 ERA in 10 starts, and his whip is literally 0.82. Just saying. No big deal. Maybe that guy figured something out. The Blue Jays fans in general have seen this over and over again. Could this be a reincarnation of Marco Estrada? He finally figured out that thing that makes him not a quadruple A player anymore. Casey Lawrence has got that screaming all day that I have to give him a chance right now. And if Ryu's all of a sudden gone and given him an opening in this rotation, I think that's where you have to start looking. Do I think that's a long-term fix? No, it's a complete wild card that you're hoping somebody like him or to the next person, the gentleman that's actually on the mound for the Bisons as we speak, Max Castillo, who I got the pleasure of seeing in Lansing when they were still part of the Blue Jays minor league system. That guy's got some really good, talented stuff. He's going to be a major league pitcher at someday. I don't know if it's going to translate as a starter, but he's going to be on a major league team, I think, in the next year or two. So you got those two guys right now you could be leaning on. Lawrence is clearly the obvious pick of those two right now. But there might be a way you could juggle some of these guys in our bullpen right now and bring them both up to cover your ass for that fifth spot.
Yeah.
And it's dropping down on a Matt Gage or something along those lines. Even though I've honestly liked watching Matt Gage so far, I think he's got something there for a left-handed pitcher, a la the Ryan Borucki that we never had. So, but I agree with both of you that I think we need to eventually be talking, you know, let these guys go out there. I agree with you flat that Nate Pearson, regardless of whatever the hell they're doing with him, lengthening him out in the minors, doesn't belong in the major league rotation right now, especially when you could just be letting him come out there. And if we can't trust somebody like Trevor Richards, like we were alluding to a minute ago, he spells into that equation there that you can just drop him in and just let him throw smoke for 30 pitches in an inning and you're good to go.
Yeah.
But okay. I don't know what you guys think.
Craig, before we go too far, I really don't know a lot about Casey Lawrence or any. I don't know anything about him. I'll be perfectly honest.
Are other those than the numbers I just other, dropped, other than a little,
the yeah, like the only thing that I know about him is that he has an 8-1 record and a 1.67 ERA or whatever it was. But what's his story? Has he been there forever, or like
he's one of those guys?
He was with the Jays a couple years ago, right?
Yep, and he's not. He's in that ballpark of, like, is 30 like the thing that makes it all of a sudden happen, you know? Okay. And he's been one of those guys that's shown flashes of this throughout his minor league career. Overall, through his minor league stats, he's pitched in 237 minor league games. So if that gives you how long he's been in the minors.
He was with the Mariners for a little while too, right?
I'm trying to pull up.
I think
the fun here. He's got no major league experience. I thought I could have sworn that you were right, Brendan, that he had made it up there, but maybe he was involved in a trade or something that I'm missing on. Hold on. There's an MLB category here. Yep, you are correct. He made it into the majors in 2018 with the Seattle Mariners, and he actually pitched two games with the Blue Jays for 3.1 innings in 2022. So he got that cup of coffee, I think, at the end of last year. 2.7 ERA in those 3.1 innings. So it's just one of those things. Like, through his minor league career, he's been super consistent, but the numbers that he's put up this year, to your point, Chris, are gaudy all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And what is the difference? Did he finally find that extra pitch that was eluding him? I don't know. I haven't watched him in person yet this year, but to that point, I was very interested in those innings he threw with the Blue Jays last year. I remember now that I remember, like, wow, who's this kid? You know?
Okay.
So But there's something there, man.
Are you thinking
34?
If somebody falters, Lawrence is the first option up before the trade deadline, or maybe the new Ross Stripling in that role when Stripling's fully in the rotation, or what?
I think that it fits both hats.
Mm.
And to that point, I don't. You have to roll with Strip.
Yeah.
Right now, there's no case in matter in it. He's earned that spot. Give it to him.
Yeah.
But knowing that you could have somebody like this that could slide right into that spot that he was filling as the long guy out of the bullpen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it just spells good things, I think.
Yeah. I think it'll definitely be obviously a week-by-week thing when they get closer to the deadline. If somebody starts to falter, like we've seen not the best from Yusei Kikuchi, and not that he'll be in danger of losing a rotation spot given the contract they've given him. But, I mean, we've seen throughout the course, Ross Stripling has had some really, really, really good stretches in his Blue Jays career, and he's had some pretty bad stretches as well. So if it comes down to it, it'll be curious to see where they place the need for a starter on the wish list to solidify the team at the deadline. Because some people on Twitter today were saying with Ryu out and Stripling and Kikuchi at the back end of your rotation, you should absolutely go and make a starting pitcher your top priority. I think, and we've already said Trevor Richards, who was a crucial arm last year down the stretch, and a couple other guys who are dealing with injury, Julia Merriweather, I know that he hasn't had a very good season, but I knew
he was starting to turn on, I think, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
There all of a sudden last week.
Yeah, and it's a shame that he's injured himself, as always, but I'm just not sure if starter has gone up to number one just because of the loss of Ryu, considering the job Stripling's done. I still think a lefty bat is the top thing you get. I think a starter might be number two now, as opposed to a back-end bullpen arm, because I think, as we've said, you have Nate Pearson to potentially be that. You have Casey Lawrence to potentially be that as a long man, or other guys like that. So now that we know Stripling is going to be in the rotation, definitely probably until the All-Star break at this point, and probably beyond if he continues at this rate, is starting pitcher number two on the trade deadline list for you guys as well, or do you have a case for it being number one?
I think it'll be one maybe going into the off season.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I don't know about you guys, but for how old Ryu is and the way his velocity was dipping down and whatever, like, this might be career ending for him.
It's possible.
I know they're talking about they don't know if it's going to be full Tommy John or it's partial, but, like, at that point, just get it fixed.
Yeah,
like you're gonna be out that time anyway. You have $20 million this year. You have $20 million coming to you next year. Like, just get yourself fixed and give yourself a real chance to come back, instead of pussyfooting around it.
Yeah,
and
does this sound like Kirby Yates to you guys at all? Yeah, like in this just situation.
Done.
Just fix your arm.
Get it fixed properly the first time, and then like maybe he's not gonna be Justin Verlander, I don't think, but like, look at what he's
doing.
I don't
think many people
are. Yeah, but like, look what Verlander's doing this year, coming off Tommy John, right? Like,
he makes it sound like he found the fountain of youth in his freaking interviews, man.
Yeah, and like, there's a chance that Ryu comes back this time ish next year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance, but like, are you? And, well, there's no guarantee. And, like, what is he going to be?
Yeah, that's a huge question mark.
That's very valid.
If he comes back and he's throwing, like, 82 or 83 because he just can't get it up there anymore. Like, Jamie Moyer isn't going to fly in today's game.
Or Mark Burley.
Oh. Yeah. Like,
that's sad.
Just, yeah, they're just not going to fly in today's MLB. It won't happen. Can I pose kind of a different question to you guys?
Yeah, of course.
That's on the same kind of topic.
Yeah.
I was listening to Talking Baseball on my way into work and on my way home to work today, and they were talking about that there's got to be some kind of June trade, which I agree with, because there usually is, and it got me thinking, do the Blue Jays learn from their mistakes last year where they kind of waited just a little bit too long to get Simber and Richards?
Yeah.
Do you think the Blue Jays are lined up to be that first team to make a little bit of a splash?
I wouldn't be shocked, to be honest. I mean, if a starter is out there right now that will be an improvement on Stripling, and it's hard to be an improvement on Stripling right now, but if you know that, yeah, that's the guy who we want as our number four in a playoff rotation or even a number three, then pull the trigger.
Are you calling the Reds right now or any of those kind of teams like that?
Yeah.
Saying, dude, you're bottom feeding. You want this?
Yes. See if Castillo, Luis Castillo is available. See if... I just remembered. With Tyler Mahle, was he one of the ones from the Reds that was put on the restricted list? Because he's a really good arm for the Reds, and I can't remember if he was on the restricted list when they came here. I feel he might have been. That would cross him off the list, unfortunately. But Castillo was here, and he pitched here, and obviously they're not getting rid of Hunter Green. He's at peace for the future. But, if somebody's out there, pull the trigger now. Like a lefty bat, maybe you go see if the Royals will trade away Benintendi sooner rather than later. Do something.
Yeah, Mahle was on the restricted list.
Yeah, okay, so yeah. He can't be traded here then. That's unfortunate. But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked, to be honest. When the Simber,
they eased the restrictions for flying.
Yeah, I'll be curious if that changes for unvaccinated people crossing the border. It hasn't changed yet, but
it's gonna be coming.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Progress to that.
Yeah. That's a good question.
So maybe we can actually build the team we want now instead of just...
Yeah.
It works both sides of the border, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good question. When the Simber trade was late June last year, right? Or right around this time last year.
I think so.
I wouldn't be shocked if something could be lined up. It does say we have five...
It's not going to be anything major, though, if you're looking at those teams. If you're looking at those teams that are in the bottom... parts of the major league record wise right now, Luis Castillo is your target.
Oh, for
or Frank Montas.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
100%. Well, look, it's
go for it. Go big.
Yeah, absolutely. Craig, I want to turn it over to you for the last topic as always. Chris gets his new opening to the show. You get your closing to the show. Let's look to do our picks to click, who won last week, and vote on that. And then our record predictions for two more after tonight. Against the Orioles tomorrow night, Thursday afternoon, and then three for the Yankees, and then when we record next Tuesday, I guess one against the White Sox as well.
Yeah, we're going to have a fun one here as far as everything goes here, because this is pretty damn close as far as the ranking goes. So I'm going to list the names out, and then you guys can do the ooh and ah-ing that I'm sitting here going that. We actually all got something right for a change.
So, it's hard not to.
I had Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Chris, you had Vlad. Adam had Alejandro Kirk, and then Brendan, you had Manoah. So those are all, just to put this out there, pulled up the, because I knew I was looking at the sheet and going, oh shit, this is going to be interesting. I pulled up the stats for the last 7 days on MLB.com. So Vlad, 5 games, obviously, in that time span, it says 5 runs scored, 8 hits, a double, 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, batted .333. One thing is no cheat code is back. No walks, 5 strikeouts. And I don't know if you guys saw the most ridiculous freaking baseball thing in history here that
him and Senior,
after 403 games, exact same home runs, exact same on base percentage.
My God.
87 home runs and a .363 on base percentage for
that's
both of them.
That's freaky.
And this is not the first time that's happened.
Oh, I know. It has to be very in parallel.
So I just want to be that guy and mention that. That was my moment to mention it. So then we had, I had Lourdes. He's
heated up.
Also 5 games, 3 runs scored, 10 hits, 3 doubles, a home run, 5 RBIs, and batted a mere .500 for those games. Alejandro Kirk, a little cooler than he's been, but still found very key ways to contribute to the games. He played in 4 of the games, 3 runs scored, 3 hits, and my IT stuff's getting in my way, apparently. a double and 3 runs drove in. So not the craziest of weeks, batting .231 for him. But like I said, he found a big way to that would have won a lot of weeks.
Yeah.
For what we've been dealing with up to this point. Because he found all those other places. His hits were timely hits.
Yeah.
I gotta pull up Manoa over his last two starts here.
Like, I know the rule typically is when you pick pitchers, obviously, unless they've had two incredible starts, which Manoa did, usually the offensive player will get the nod at that point when you've had such a good week like Vlad or Lourdes. So I'm fine, considering you guys gifted me one last week when Jason Lee picked for me. I'm fine to not put Manoa's name in the ring.
I was gonna vote for Manoa.
Were you?
So I'm trying to find out, because according to here, his last 7 days, the one start didn't count. I find that hard. Wasn't his other start last Tuesday?
It would have been when we recorded last.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that was why you picked Noah, because he was going to have two starts.
That's exactly why I picked him.
So I'll raise this logic to you, and you guys can tell me if I'm out of my damn mind or not. Looking at these stats and everything, Lourdes and Vlad are mixing categories back and forth with. I can give you a 50-50 either way, because Vlad had a couple more home runs, but Lourdes Gurriel scored more runs. And there's for every argument you'll bring up, I'll find one that goes back and forth. To that point, the pitching, I agree that two starts from Manoa, one was a stop. We got the win, and then the other one, him doing just fucking lights out stuff last night. Yeah. So I cannot vote against Alec Manoa.
Yeah.
So
we are in,
this is going to be the consensus. Really weird, random week that a pitcher actually wins.
Okay, we are in consensus.
I'd be curious who Adam's vote would be, and maybe we can get him to submit his if we send
him
the stats
later. Kevin Biggio, he's not here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's his pick for this upcoming Picks a Click, but my vote was going to be for Lourdes over Vlad, just because I respect the ballsier pick of the two, to be honest, considering Lourdes was pretty cold going into that.
I had a feeling. I was not wrong. And to that point of batting 500 for a week, I would have had some fun there. So I'm just glad he's heating up, because I was waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it. I think I picked him like three times.
If you both were going to do Manoa, I'll take it.
Yeah. No, okay. I was going to say Manoa.
I've picked Lourdes three goddamn times this season. And I won week one, though.
Yeah, there you go. At least you won.
I won week two.
So pencil in Kevin Biggio for Adam, because he's not here and that's his default pick. I guess I won. I mean, they'll go. George Springer is who I will go with.
Okay. All I'm going to say is I haven't said the standings yet. I apparently need to get off the fucking pot here and do something well, because I'm getting housed. You all have three wins. I have one. It's a three-way tie for first place.
Well, whichever one of you wants to go next can go next.
Go, Chris.
I'll take a ballsy pick, and I don't think it's going to have any effect on the Baltimore series and everything to do with the weekend, and that's what I'm banking on. And I'll take Romano.
Ooh.
Ooh, I was wondering if that's where
you're
going.
Two saves, two wins.
Yep.
There you go.
He's got a pitch, though. He hasn't pitched in like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Are we reading,
considering his workload from earlier in this season?
Exactly.
But still.
Yeah. Are we reconstituting Vlad as the cheat code and I'm not allowed to use him, even though I suck?
I am fine to give Vlad another week.
Yeah, I'll give him another week.
Because it hasn't been
treat him like
shit. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So absolutely. I'm gonna hope for the holy shit and get back in the freaking win column here.
And then,
it's only been since week two I've won. Oh wait, I've only won the one game, so that makes sense. I just told that a minute ago.
And then Chris, for the next two against Baltimore, knowing you got Barrios tomorrow, Gosman Thursday, and then the Yankees coming for three, which will be Stripling Friday, Manoa Saturday, Kikuchi Sunday, and then turn back around to Barrios on Monday against the White Sox. What would your record prediction be for those, five, six games? Six games.
Six.
5-1.
Woo!
Oh, smoking.
Like you got to think you're getting two against Baltimore.
Yep.
Yep.
One against the White Sox and then
against the White Sox and two against, I want to hear the Fire Tony chant start going again.
Craig, what about you?
I unfortunately don't think we're going to have, because of that pitching matchup with Kikuchi in there and whatnot for the Yankees series, that's going to unfortunately wrench that whole situation, but we're going to win two against the Orioles.
I would skip Kikuchi.
I honestly was wondering that at this point, but to that point, do you skip him and gain anything?
Yeah, he has pitched very well against them. I know he hasn't recently, but he's had a good start to a season against them. He's pitched every single series against them so far.
Yeah.
Would you be getting Berríos on a short start on that? Because of the off day?
Or is if Lawrence would line up with it, I would bring him up for a game.
Honestly, I would take that wild card right now over the fact of what Kikuchi's done, especially tonight against the Orioles.
Yeah, he's been terrible, and show the Yankees something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Tell him to go out there and give me four innings, and we'll figure out the rest
this guy because just to be this guy is because Kikuchi's line's already done for the night. Two home runs, four earned runs, over four innings, and that's against the Baltimore Orioles. I will say that at least the two home runs came from some of the better hitters in the Baltimore lineup, and Robinson Chirinos and Austin Hayes, but it's not a good look. Anyway, you kind of really look at it.
No, so, and those Yankees hitters will tee off on him.
I'm afraid so.
Yeah, I'm 4-2. I don't think we're going to win that first game against the White Sox. I think we'll find a way to cough it up.
I'm with
you. But the
you
rest of that series, I'm confident.
I'm with you as well. I'm going 4-2, and the losses are to one against the Yankees and one against the White Sox, and then win the
others. That's where I'm at. Good deal.
Outside of that, is there any final closing thoughts?
Pen.
Yeah, it's in blue pen. It's down official. Anything else before two claps and Ric Flair?
None. Good.
I had something. What the fuck was it? Oh, I want to be this guy. Shout out to our friend Jesse Goldberg-Strasser, who has actually been promoted from the Lansing Lugnuts tonight to be an announcer for the Oakland A's and making his major league debut in Fenway Park. How fucking cool is that? So,
congratulations, Mr. Cool. Jesse. That is awesome to see. Friend of the show from previous seasons and whatnot. So absolutely.
One of the coolest guys on baseball planet that I've had the luxury of sitting in the box with and shooting the shit. So it was very, very fun. Every time I've been to Lansing for my previous employer, I got a nice little steal out of going to see and visit Jesse for a beer and talk baseball.
Absolutely. Cool.
Did I ever tell you that he actually used to do he would pick a game, randomly home game for doing the radio broadcasting when he was for Lansing. He would have somebody relay him all the information and he'd do it old school where you're like taking the freaking bat and making the noise and everything like that, so that it was like you're making all the noises, making it sound like you're in the ballpark. So it was really cool that he does that kind of stuff. He has a really good fun time, and I highly recommend listening to. He still does a Blue Jays podcast. Around the Nest is another plug for our buddy Jesse. So although maybe he's gotten too big for his britches and he gets to stay in the majors for a little bit more than a cup of coffee. I hope all the best to you, my friend.
Yes. Congratulations, Jesse. Very nice tribute, Mr. Craig Borden. Outside of that, gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in tonight. We know there's a Blue Jays game going on. It hasn't been the best one with Yusei Kikuchi on the mound. But hopefully the good times keep rolling, especially with the Yankees.
I don't hear a fat lady
on the weekend. Yeah, exactly. It's not done yet, and the Baltimore Orioles cannot pitch very well, at least. So hopefully they come back and win tonight. Could keep the good times rolling against there. But outside of that, thank you to Stadium Scene and Jays Journal for us being the official podcast and to three of us for conducting tonight's episode. But outside of that, gentlemen, are we ready for two claps and a Ric Flair?
Yeep.
Ready? One, two, three.
Woo!
Woo!
Let's go Blue Jays. Bum, bum, bum,
bum, bum. We miss you, Adam.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.